I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. I'm John, he's Patrick. Together we're the functional nerds. Together we're the functional nerds.
My name is Patrick Hester. His name is John Anelio. And you're listening to The Functional Nerds. This is going to be episode number 258, which is also the first of 2016.
That is Patrick Hester. He is an author, a blogger, and a podcast dude. You could check out his website, atfmb.com, and follow him on Twitter at atfmb. My name is John Anelio. I'm a musician and a teacher and a podcaster. You can check out my Twitter at John Anelio. And happy new year. And today we are delighted to be joined by Dave Gross. He is a writer and a recovering editor. He's the author of the Radovan and the Count novels, including Lord of Runes, which is out now, and I have it here, and I'm 262 pages into it and enjoying it very much. Dave, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, and I should also point out that you can check out Dave's website, which is frabjuicedave.com, and at Twitter at frabjuicedave. So I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but it's FRABJOUSDAVE. How would you pronounce that, Dave?
I would pronounce it frabjuice, like "Oh, Frabjous Day" from the Lewis Carroll poem.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. That makes
Isn't
more sense.
Isn't there also a song like that? "Oh, Frabjous Day. Oh, Frabjous Day."
So,
"Oh, Frabjous Day. Oh, Frabjous Day."
If not, then I think somebody needs to write it.
Didn't I just do that? Come on.
You just did it. You just did it there, Patrick. So thank you, everybody, for joining us in this new year. I'm sure we are batch recording this as we always do. So this is a couple weeks before the new year. So I'm sure we're going to like say stuff that will make no sense in a couple weeks. But that's really just
wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yes, exactly. Patrick,
Dave, hold on, John. Hold on. Before mm-hmm. you start going down this road. So this is the first episode of the new year. Mm-hmm. That means that in America, we have just enjoyed Christmas and Hanukkah, mm-hmm. right? Very mm-hmm. traditional American holidays. I'm curious. Dave lives in Canada. Dave, what kind of Canadian holidays do you have this time of year?
The only big one that's different is Thanksgiving comes a month earlier in Canada.
So mm-hmm. you're saying you have Canadian Christmas?
Yes. Yes. That great American institution of Christmas.
Yes.
Existed before the United States.
How do you decorate the Canadian Christmas moose?
You do remember that I'm also an American.
I know. Okay. I'm teasing you. Come on.
Well, we have cats, so we don't decorate a Christmas tree.
I have a cat. Although I have a Christmas
tree.
We've
been thinking that maybe we should hang one from the ceiling upside down.
Oh, yes. That way they the can't portal? Like the portal
yes.
one? Yes.
Not like that.
Yeah, that to my cat, he would just be in a Barney Stinson voice. He'd be going, "Challenge accepted." He's already right now. My Christmas tree. I rearranged my living room. I actually mounted the TV on the wall now, so it's like this is the setup forever. And I have these really nice bookcases that I bought and installed, and everything. And so the only place to put the Christmas tree was right next to one of the bookshelves. And the cat's looking at me like, "Dude, you're just making this so easy." You know, and he just looked at it and he's like, "Ah, I'm tearing you down."
We tried for 2 years to have a Christmas tree with the cats, and within moments, one of them was nesting right in the middle of the tree. And the moment that he tried to jump out, he would shift it so that the tree would come down. Now we have two cats and a dog. So what would happen is the cat would get in the tree and the dog would want to play.
Yes.
And the whole place would be destroyed.
You screwed up that story. So the way it would work is that the cat would get in the tree and then lure the dog to the tree so the cat could murder the dog.
I swore we've had Dave on the show before.
No, he's been on SF Signal.
No,
and,
I know.
We talked for like 2 hours after we recorded. We were still talking.
It was a long time.
Yeah, we were having fun.
Well, I thought we were buds, but then you stopped answering my emails.
You haven't sent me an email since, but I've sent you IMs.
We've talked a few times tonight.
Yes.
That's true.
Well, Here's how Dave is on the show today, because I I have my piles of books that get sent and I cherish them, and I had this, you know, I was narrowing down like what do I want to read next, and I've gotten several of the Pathfinder books sent to me
over
the past few months. Why is that?
Because they switched to Tor for distribution.
No, I know.
So,
that's
so
exactly
actually,
right.
When they switched to Tor, I stopped getting them because Tor doesn't really send me books anymore.
Oh, well, I'll have to send you
But Dave sent somebody an email, and suddenly I started getting the Pathfinder books again. So thank you, Dave.
You're welcome.
Because I do enjoy the Pathfinder books immensely. And I love the folks at Pathfinder. James has always been awesome. Josh is there now. Love Josh to death. And I just love what Pathfinder's doing.
Well, and I have yet to read a Pathfinder book, and so this is the first one. So I've been getting them sent, and I'm like, you know what? That's what I want to go for. So I've been reading it and enjoying it, and I'm like, I'd love to get Dave on, but like I feel like we've had him on, and you know, we're trying to get some new blood on the show. And here's why I thought we had Dave on before, because I think you picked this as your pick one time, and. See, because I thought what happened was I thought you interviewed Dave at a con, and it was, you know, you post there. You interviewed Andrew Gross at a con.
Oh, yes.
Because when I searched through our archives, I'm like, we've never had Dave on. I'm going to ask Dave if he wants to be on. So, Dave, thank you for coming on.
And Dave probably didn't know that I had picked his book as one of my picks of the week.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Well, I want to get into all the Pathfinder stuff and other stuff that Dave does, but let's get into our picks of the week first.
Picks of the week.
And Patrick, why don't you go with your pick?
Oh, brother. So I just mentioned that I've been kind of rearranging my house a little bit. I've been trying to upgrade some stuff. Pretty much everything I own, I bought in 2000 and 2001 when I still had money.
I remember those days.
Yeah, back when you were single and you didn't have really any responsibilities, and you thought, "Yeah, a DVD player and a surround sound system, that sounds like a good use of my money." So I've had a lot of really old stuff, and I've been getting rid of my really cheap bookshelves and replacing them with slightly more expensive IKEA cheap bookshelves. And actually installing them up against the walls and that kind of stuff. And I bought a nice little entertainment center. I mounted the TV on the wall. I got a cheap little wall mount for like $25 at Amazon.com or something like that, and put the TV up on the wall. And my brother's been helping me with all this. But one of the things that I hated when I did that was all the wires. I had so many wires going up to the TV, from the Xbox, the Blu-ray player, the cable box, all this kind of stuff, all going up there. It was just a pain, and it was just a mess. So I started looking at ways to manage my cords, and I know that you're a cord cutter, John, but I needed to manage my cords. And what I came across was, oddly enough, in the 14 and a half years since I bought my surround sound system, they have made changes. Go figure. Right?
I know. Technology moves on. Yeah.
And moved on. And they've gotten away from things like, you know, the audio or the, what's it called? The optical cable in and out kind of stuff. And they've gone all to HDMI. And they now have these receivers for surround sound where you plug in all your HDMI devices to the receiver, and then one cord goes up to your television for HDMI.
That's cool.
That blew my mind. So I started shopping. Shut up, Dave. I started shopping, and I quit laughing.
In sympathy, because I made the same discovery recently.
And so I started shopping, and I'm looking at all my stuff, and I'm like, dang, all I need is one of these receivers, but they were super huge, expensive. And then I did an okay job at work, so they gave me an okay bonus, you know, kind of holiday bonus kind of thing, like a lot of companies do. And so I took that, and I shopped and shopped and shopped, and I waited for Amazon to have the Black Friday stuff, and I got myself a new receiver that does four HDMIs in and one HDMI out. So now everything plugs into that, and I've only got one cord going up to the TV. So my pick this week is that. It's that kind of system, and you can get them. They're all over the place. I got mine for a little over $200 because I did it on Black Friday, and normally they're hugely expensive. There's tons of different kinds of them. I don't really care what you buy. But it was neat because it's HDMI in, it's a very nerdy thing, one HDMI out, and everything plugs into it, and everything sounds cool. And now suddenly my back speakers are working again on my surround, which they had stopped in the old system. I don't know why. And I didn't have to replace all my speakers. I just plugged my speakers into the new system, and everything worked. So
cool.
That's kind of my pick, and I know it's a wandering kind of pick.
That's okay.
But that's it.
Dave, do you have a pick to tell our listeners about this week?
I do. I hope that nobody else has suggested this before, but I suspect somebody might have done. I recently discovered an Australian TV series called Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries, and it's brilliant. It is very formulaic, just like the classic British detective show, but it's fresh in that the lead character is this wonderfully dynamic, independent dilettante set in the 20s. So she's solving crimes as a wealthy heiress in 1920s Melbourne. And she has a wonderful cast of characters that in some ways might remind you of the Scooby Gang from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And there is a certain amount of humor in the stories, but it is primarily a drama. And if you love a series like, say, Jessica Jones or Agent Carter, where the female lead is truly independent, and you like a show that embraces feminist ideals, then this is the show for you. This is a terrific show. The whole cast is tremendous, and I can't recommend it more highly enough. The lead actress is Essie Davis, who you might have seen in The Babadook, and who's going to blow up next year when she appears on Game of Thrones.
Now, say the title of the show once more.
Miss Fisher's Murder Mysteries.
And how are you watching it? Where
I'm watching
are you?
On Netflix. I think it's also on American Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And, it's on Blu-ray and DVD. I have not seen the third season, but a friend is going to lend it to me. I may even buy it myself. But there's talk of a fourth season, but it's probably not going to happen. Instead, I think it's more likely we might see some movies, because I know the cast and perhaps also the creators would like to do some international mysteries, something set in other countries.
That's great. You know, I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to definitely recommend that to my in-laws. My mother and father-in-law love all the BBC stuff like that. So this seems like something that they would, that they could really sink their teeth into. So very, very good pick. I'm going to pick Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That show has been up and down over the years. And I know Patrick and I have always been, I know first season we were like two of the people that were like, I like it, you know, because everyone was like killing it.
I like everything but the music.
Yeah, I know. You're always critical of the music. But you know, it's like, look, it's what I expected it to be. I don't know. But I feel like I've been watching it on Hulu, and I just watched the mid-season finale or whatever you want to call it. And I think this half of the season has been its strongest to date so far. I think it's really been very good. You know, there's stakes, the characters being better developed, the relationships between the characters. There's some more superpower stuff going on in it now.
The only thing I'm worried about now, John, is the split between television and movies within the hierarchy at Disney. Mm-hmm. So the guy who's in charge of the movies did a coup and got it so that he doesn't have to report to the head of Marvel anymore. He reports directly to the head of Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates a span between the television production, which is still controlled under Marvel, and the movies, which is now controlled specifically under Disney. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how, because you know, a lot of times it takes a little while for that to actually affect things. So I'm pretty sure they had this whole story arc ready and done and was in pre-production and possibly post-production on a lot of episodes. It'd be interesting to see how the back nine is going to work.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair point. And I think one of the only criticisms I've had of the show over the years is that there were times when you could tell they were waiting for whatever the next Marvel movie to come out, and then their next series of episodes would be closely related to whatever happened in the movie. So there would sometimes be a couple episodes where it did feel like a little bit of treading water until the movie came out. Like, all right, we're waiting till Thor comes out, and then bam, that's Thor. We're going to do some stuff about the, you know, so there's been a little bit of that, but yeah, I'd be curious to see, but this whatever it was, 9 episodes or 10 episodes, very strong. If you liked the show at any point and maybe stopped watching it, I think it's worth picking up again. I really dig it. So that is my pick this week, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't know, Dave, if you are watching that at all, but
we love it. We prefer Agent Carter. But,
yes.
When Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is good, it's very good. We're big Phil Coulson fans.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And Agent Carter is coming in January.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood.
Yep.
Yeah. That's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that too. Okay, so let's talk a bit about Pathfinder then, because you know
in that case, John, we need to roll for initiative. So hold on. All right, John, you got an 18. Dave, you got a 17. Not bad. And I got a 14. So, John, go ahead.
Okay, so as Patrick mentioned, Tor is putting out the Pathfinder books now. So I've been getting a bunch of them. And, so you know,
do you understand how that works, John?
No, tell me.
So I talked with James Sutter. Paizo and his team and his department are still doing all of the acquisitions, the editing, the working with the author, you know, getting the books put together and doing the cover art and all that kind of stuff. Irene's not involved yet with the covers. I say yet because you never know what might happen, right? But Pathfinder has a very certain style of cover and everything. And so everything is still working inside of Paizo Publishing and through James's team, and they're putting the books together. And then when they're ready to distribute, they send it to Tor.
Okay, cool. Well, and that's one of the things I really, you know, one of the why I finally picked one up is like, I do love the way these books look.
Well, and the Tor thing also opens them up to have eBooks available on Amazon, which is cool.
Cool. Yeah. So, you know, Dave, why don't you tell, because I think if I was reading your bios correctly, you worked directly for Pathfinder at one point. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your history with Pathfinder and leading up to what you're doing now.
All right. There's a long version, but I think we have time for the short one. The short one is, back when I worked at TSR and then Wizards of the Coast, I was the editor of magazines. But every once in a while, there'd be an open call for story submissions. And I made one back in 1994. And it was accepted. And once you're in, they will sometimes ask you to submit another one for the next anthology. So that snowballed into my writing novels for TSR. I think actually my first novel came out under the Wizards of the Coast imprint because we all moved to Seattle at around that time. Then I was one of the, I don't know, whether 15 or 20 of us, who left Wizards of the Coast and formed Paizo Publishing. And at that time I was editing the Star Wars magazines, Insider and Gamer. And I had continued to write novels for Wizards of the Coast, but then I left Paizo in 2004 to move up here to Canada to write for computer games. And at that point, I stopped writing novels for quite a while. Not that I didn't want to, but I just didn't have the bandwidth. And fortunately for me, I ran into Eric Mona at the 2008 World Fantasy Convention in Calgary, just 3 hours south of us. And he said, we're thinking of starting a fiction line. And I remember that you wrote some books for The Forgotten Realms. Would you be interested? Of course I was. And then I will shorten it a little bit more. I did write a book that became the first one that they released. That was Prince of Wolves. Although before that, I'd written a novella for the Pathfinder Adventure Path. So the characters actually began before the first novel. And in between the novels, I wrote short stories, as many of the Pathfinder authors have, for the web fiction page at Paizo.com. So not only are there five novels with these characters, there are also two novellas and maybe five short stories. I can't keep track. But that's the short version.
And the long version exists over at sfsignal.com on the podcast.
That's right. That's right. We talked all about that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you know, so now are you, do they just kind of give you free reign to continue writing these characters?
Oh, no, there's nothing free. I'm free to pitch novel ideas to them. And about a year ago, after I'd finished Lord of Runes, my editor asked if I had another idea. And I pitched a couple of ideas. And they said, we don't like these ideas. you have others. And I didn't. So later... later, I thought maybe I would pitch a couple of other ideas, and I did, and they didn't like those ideas either. So I stopped coming up with ideas. I think I'm going to wait and see how the most recent book does, and if it does very well, maybe I'll try to come up with some more ideas. But in the meantime, I'm working on other things.
And the Tor deal, John, just it expands the ability for new readers to find Dave. It really does, you know, because now you've got the Tor distribution and marketing system kind of behind you. So it's a win-win for both Pathfinder and Tor. You know, Pathfinder was already kicking butt and doing really well. And I believe, Dave, your books have been very popular. I know Howard's has been. Wendy has written a book for them, and that was Wendy Wagner. It was awesome. And so the Pathfinder books themselves are wonderful. And having Tor distribute them just opens up the audience.
Yes, indeed.
Now, maybe you could be, because I am a I am ignorant of gaming. I don't really game. Well, it's something that we talk about. Patrick, you seem like you've gotten more and more into it over the years. It seems like now it's like a pretty significant part of your life. I know you have a gaming night
Two Fridays a month.
Yeah, so it's become a regular part of your life, and I'm open to the idea, but I don't game at all. But in reading this book, speaking as a non-gamer, you can enjoy this book without being a gamer, absolutely. And this is not, and as you said, this is like the fourth or fifth book with these characters, and I'm enjoying it without reading the previous books.
They're basically high fantasy.
I put it akin to some of the kind of sword and sorcery kind of things that I've read, you know, kind of adventure.
I'm glad you disagree, because my intention was to write high fantasy sword and sorcery.
Well, there we go. We got it, Patrick. That's so funny because that's some of the sword and sorcery that I've read, the more recent modern sword and sorcery. It's and that's why I think it's very readable if you don't read if you don't have the backstory of this or the previous books, because it just gets right into an adventure and I'm in it. So, but for someone who either is involved in the gaming or wants to get involved with both, what are some of the connections between the books and the game?
Well, my hope is that you don't ever have to you don't even have to know that there's a game to appreciate the story. That's my hope. But I also understand that many of the readers are going to come from the game. So I do a certain amount of research. I am a gamer. I've played in Pathfinder. I know the world reasonably well, not as well as the experts at Paizo, but as well or better than the average player. And I try to draw place names, character names, historical events, customs from the role-playing game, and to use them in meaningful ways in the story. So I don't want to just name check a character and then go on with my own invention. I want to make sure that the story that I write has to take place in the world of Galarian. It wouldn't make sense in Middle Earth or in the world of Conan. It has to be a Galarian story. So what connects the gamers with the non-gamers is the setting, is the world.
Yeah, and that's one of the things where, and I can see this for myself reading this now, is that what's gratifying about this kind of stuff. And in our previous episodes, I've talked about how I've read all the recent Star Wars books and how I'm that guy that's picking every sentence apart to try to draw connections between the books and the comics and the TV shows and the movies and the cartoons and all of that stuff. But what's interesting is, like, as I'm reading this, you are making reference to events in the past and you are making references to geographic locations. And I'm like, I wonder if that'll come up in another book. And I bet that'll be cool when it does. So now it makes me want to read, some of the other books, your books and some of the other authors that are writing in this world, which I guess is kind of the whole point.
Yes. One of the great things about the line, in my opinion, is that there's so many different voices, different flavors of story going on, but they're all in the same world. So it may be that you find that there are two or three authors that you love the best. And you don't need to read the others to read the ones that are your favorites. But it could be that you read those that you love best, and then one day you discover there's another one that you really like.
Now, let me ask this then. And you may not know the answer to this, but is there a specific time? Like, do some of the books take place? Do they all take place in the same general time period, or are there like different eras and epochs and such?
The timeline is purposefully vague.
Okay.
as the editor likes to say, your story takes place now. Now, there are a few exceptions. I think there was a book early on. I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Howard's. It might have been somebody else's that took place just a few years before the now. And my books do take place in sequence, so that the events of Master of Devils, for example, take place after the events of Prince of Wolves. But you don't necessarily need to have read Prince of Wolves to understand the story of Master of Devils. It's like a detective series where each new book is a new case. But if, say, the detective's brother-in-law died in book one, he won't suddenly be alive in book two. There is a continuity, but you don't necessarily need to go chronologically to understand each story.
You know, now let me ask you, Patrick, I have a question for you, because that you in Dave bringing up the detective stories, I have read the first two Dresden books, and those are, you know, in a way, detective stories. Mm-hmm. So, Patrick, I think you've read all of them now at this point. Yeah. So now with those, would you say that you could read those out of order, or do those get more and more where you really have to read them in order?
They get more and more where you kind of have to read them in order. However, he always sets each book up with some sort of recap of what happened previously. You're not always left behind. You know, it's like he will do something, and I'm being vague on purpose because I don't want to give stuff away. But he will do something so that you don't have to go back and read those books if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. So there's some sort of reference. There's some sort of something with books like The Pathfinder, and it really with any of the tie-ins. I get a little bit bummed because there is a, I'm going to coin a phrase here. There's an elitist dictitude when it comes to tie-in fiction that, it's very, especially within the literary community, it's very much poo-pooed. But there's some great stuff out there. You know, given a lot of people's attitudes towards tie-in fiction, you know, no one would read Chuck Wendig's Star Wars novel because it's a Star Wars novel. No one would read Dave's Pathfinder books because they're Pathfinder books. And that's BS. Because they, especially with Pathfinder, you've got a crew of people who love this world and love the game so much that they're not going to put out books that suck or that reflect poorly on the game. They also want to bring people to the game. So they're not just writing, you know, books where you can, and I've talked to Sutter about this before, they're not just going to, you know, have books where when the character does something, you hear in your head that, you know, they definitely toe that line because they have to have these stories work within the mechanics of the game. Mm-hmm. But they don't want to throw the mechanics of the game in your face, right? Mm. So there's. I know this is a long kind of detailed answer to you, but it's interesting. There are some Warcraft books that are phenomenal and tell the story of Thrall, right? Mm-hmm. That I know people within our community would never pick up because it's a Warcraft book, mm-hmm. And that's sad to me.
Patrick, but you have to admit, if they did an audiobook where they had the sound of dice rolling in there, you got to admit, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it would drive you up.
I think it'd be awesome for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the sound of like Mountain Dew cans being popped open.
Yeah,
and
it's, yeah, don't, you know what? Don't stereotype us, Anelia.
I don't know. One of the few times that Patrick and I, like, you know, have hung out in person, like, I believe there was Mountain Dew consumed.
And to a little bit, John, that's when I'm at a convention, I don't sleep well at all, mm-hmm. just because I don't sleep well in hotels. So mm-hmm. I need to be caffeinated. So that's when I really do the Mountain Dew hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, to your point, Patrick, you know, I've, in our last episode, two of my three favorite books this year were Star Wars books.
Yeah.
And I think they were, it wasn't, a lot of it has to do with my own feeling of nostalgia for Star Wars, sure. and my own love of the world. And that certainly plays a part in it. But those two books were among the best written books that I wouldn't have picked them if I didn't think they were well written, really enjoy. Yeah. I think what happens in those books, they're just very focused, and clear story.
Yeah. Yes. Let me put this into context for you, and something, a conversation that you and I have had in the past. I really enjoyed Picking On, mm-hmm. which is mm-hmm. the series of bluegrass albums where they do classic rock songs, mm-hmm. right? So it's Picking On Zeppelin, it's mm-hmm. Picking On Kansas. It's Picking On Boston, you know, and they play these songs of the, and I love them. And you're sitting there going, well, Patrick, it doesn't, you know, a good song is a good song. It doesn't matter who's playing it, right? Or what mm-hmm. style of music. I feel the same way about storytelling. Dave is a good storyteller. Howard is a good storyteller. They're telling great stories. Wendy is a good storyteller. I don't care that they're in a Pathfinder setting. They're telling good stories. And isn't that what we want as readers, is to read good stories?
Answer yes.
Yeah.
So, Dave, what's some of the other, you know, so obviously you have that going on. What are other things that you're working on, whether they're books or other kinds of writing?
I know the main thing that I'm working on right now is a novel. And actually, I put that on hold to finish a novella that is actually a prequel to that novel. Because it's helping me design for myself the rules of that world. It's the first time I've written in this setting. It's my own setting. So the novella takes place hundreds of years before the novel. And it just seemed logical for me to go back and work out more of the history before I wrote the present day events, which sometimes refer to that history. And I am awaiting word on another contract gig that I would not normally have done, except the setting is one that I love so much. And I can't talk about that
they
one
seduced
yet,
but maybe in a couple months. Like, they seduced now, you. That's what they did. Yeah,
they did. They seduced me very much.
I don't think I ever heard that. They seduced me. I was seduced very much. Oh. I was very much seduced. So with the original novel that you're working on, does that have a publisher as of yet?
Oh, no. That's something I'm writing on spec. Mm-hmm. There's a publishing friend has encouraged me to write the novella because his editor, he believes, would really like to see my work. But there's no deal. It will be entirely on spec. That's another reason why I'm trying to finish the novella first, is because someone has expressed an interest.
Well, and you know, it's interesting. I haven't read them yet, but they're on my to be read. I don't have the actual physical copies, which is funny. I get everything from Tor, but I didn't get these. The Tor.com is doing, I guess, their novellas. I know Daniel Polansky has The Builders.
Isn't that what Lee was specifically hired to do?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I know, I think it's focused on digital publishing, but I think they are putting out physical books too. I feel like I've asked some people who had the physical
book. I've read one of them. It was very good. It's the Sorcerer of the Wild Deeps by Kai Ashante Wilson.
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't read the others yet, but it looks very exciting.
Yeah. And Matt Wallace wrote, I think it's called Envy of Angels, Matt Wallace.
Who?
Matt Effin Wallace.
Oh!
Okay. That one. I have to give his middle name. Effin. Yeah, so I want to read both those because I love Daniel Polansky's writing, and I obviously Matt goes without saying, he's one of our favorite people over here. So those, I believe, are novella. I don't know what they're
official. They are novellas.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see. That seems to be I know that's sort of the strategy behind Tor.com, is to put out shorter fiction, and I don't know if I think they're doing well from what I can tell, and maybe that's like kind of the next trend in genre publishing, but maybe we'll see your novella first. That would be,
I think, more and more people who are reading books electronically or via audiobooks like the novella length.
I think it's
a little bit less expensive. It's part of the reason you can try something for a lower financial commitment, and I think also it's something that you can finish within a week of driving to work if you're listening on audiobooks.
Yeah, and I think the Tor.com stuff is all like $2.99 or something like that if you buy the ebooks of it. Yeah, so it's very reasonable. And yeah, I think you're right, because I do like I love the big 1,000-page doorstoppers too, but it is kind of nice to kind of knock something out in a couple days or a week and have a nice, good story just beginning to end just like that. So,
well, I also think it's a good format and length for self-publishing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's what I did with Cahill's Homecoming, and that's what I'm planning on doing with Cahill's Unfinished Business, which is the sequel. There are going to be novellas. It's $2.99. It's a nice price point. It's a nice length. And I think it's a great way for readers to kind of get into your world.
Yeah, I feel like individual short stories maybe aren't what people want, but it is the novella. If it's something a little more substantial than just a short story, I think it's good.
I agree.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that is a good place to begin wrapping it up, because I know Dave has to go pretty soon because he's got some stuff. I don't know if you do. You want to tell us what you're doing today, Dave? Because I saw on Facebook.
We're such nerds here. We're celebrating the release of The Force Awakens with a Star Wars party, an original trilogy marathon. So in about 30 minutes, I start making X-Wing and TIE Fighter and Millennium Falcon pancakes for the early arrivals.
Nice.
Yes, I see your Darth Vader mug.
Oh, you see my Darth Vader mug. Awesome. Yes. Just so you understand, you don't understand the power of the dark side or something like that. That was a horrible.
I forgot I was an editor, so I do understand the power of it.
So we have to let Dave go to start making some Millennium Falcon pancakes. And if we lived in Canada, so I would assume
you would be welcome. You are welcome.
And here's
all day long.
Here's what I'm interested in, John. So in America, you know, a lot of people will have gardens and stuff like that in their backyard. And in Colorado, of course, people grow pot. But I'm curious, Dave, when you make these Millennium Falcon pancakes, do you then just go out to your backyard, tap a tree for some maple syrup?
We've done that earlier, so we've got it in bottles now.
I amuse myself and offend all the Canadians.
Yes, that's what we do on the show. Well,
I blame Geeky Jules.
Yes. So everyone go and pick out Dave's Pathfinder novel. It's called Lord of Runes. It is out now. Go check it out everywhere where books are sold. You can check it out.
And John, did you notice that it is a different format now?
What's the different format now?
Tor is doing the bigger trade paperback. So it's a nicer, bigger format.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. So go and check that out. It's you could check out Dave's website. Frabjousdave.
To make it easier to remember, just go to buydavegross.com. Same site.
Even better. And that's his Twitter handle as well, the Frabjousdave.
Can I plug one other thing?
Please do.
I have a story in a recently released anthology called Gods, Memes, and Monsters by Stone Skin Press. It's a bunch of very short stories taking classic monsters from mythology, folklore, from all sorts of different cultures, and putting it in the modern day. Mine is a story called Wendigo.
You wrote a story about Chuck Wendigo?
Chuck.
Yeah. Well, very cool. And anything else you want to tell people about? Do you have any con appearances, anything like that coming up that you want to let our listeners?
I think this next year is going to be me as a homebody writing.
So, John, recently there's been some shit going on in Colorado Springs, and it was interesting that some international newspapers were talking about Colorado and basically alluding to the fact that people in Colorado wear cowboy hats and boots and ride horses to work. And it's an interesting little stereotype, and it goes to what I think of Canada and Dave having to commute to work on a moose. Or with
that's
like a
true,
dog
though.
Sled.
Every once in a while, someone just needs no shoes, but that's not too common.
Very good. All right. Now, for us, I do want to take a moment before we do wrap it up to thank our patrons. We have 34.
Who may or may not be watching right now.
Yeah, who may or may not be watching. We have still not got this fully together yet, which we apologize for. And hopefully in the new year, we will get it going better. But we'd like to thank the 34 people who are the 34 patrons, the lovely individuals who are backing the podcast every month. We are so appreciative of it. And it really helps us out with putting the show out and the costs of doing a podcast every week. And it's really invigorated us, and we just could not be more thankful. So if you are somebody who would like to join those 35 angels that are supporting the show every month, all you have to do is go over to patreon.com/functionalnerds. You can do $1 a month. We put out a show every week. That's 25 cents a show. If you feel like you get some sort of entertainment or information out of this show, any sort of value out of the show, learning about authors like Dave Gross and Alana Meyer and all the other cool folks that we have on the show every week, consider becoming one of our patrons. It really helps us out a lot. Join those 34 people. We'd really appreciate it. Once again, patreon.com/functionalnerds. Patrick, anything else you want to tell people before we wrap it up today?
Nope, that's pretty much it.
All right, Dave, thank you so much for joining us.
Enjoy the invitation.
Enjoy your Star Wars party. And that's
not
about
too
it.
Much, right. Though. Don't enjoy it too much because we're not there.
Yes.
It is a source of great sadness to us.
Yes.
That you're not.
Go easy on the Corellian ale.
You should see the drinks we have lined up.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Do you listen to audiobooks?
What's that?
Do you listen to audiobooks?
I certainly do.
And you have an account at audible.com?
I don't actually. I buy them on on Amazon. They end up coming through Audible, I guess, but
you have an account. It's the same thing. You can log in on Audible with your Amazon account.
Oh, okay. Then I do.
Yeah.
All right. I think Patrick already has all of my Pathfinder books. Is that correct?
I have all your physical books, yes.
Okay. John, I'm going to send you some codes for audiobooks for the previous volumes.
Ooh, thank you. I'd love it. That's awesome. Thank you. Well, I look forward to that very much. Thank you, Dave. Cool. All right. Well, see, now I'm getting cool stuff, everybody. You don't get it, but I get it. Well, go buy them. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves, and I hope we pass the audition.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.
Would you like a chili, baby?